Hi, and welcome to the View Church Tableview Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Good morning, church. So good to be in God's house. Did all the moms get spoiled this morning? You guys get good gifts. I was really spoiled. I got this watch, so I'm loving it. Andre has redeemed himself because he has a bit of a history with Mother's Day gifts. So 2 years ago, I wake up on Mother's Day and he's bought me an exercise trampoline. So I tried not to be offended. I tried to have a thick skin. No. And then I realized that actually he wanted the exercise trampoline. He's been using it all the time. So it was actually a gift for him. And then last year, I woke up on Mother's Day and he had bought me a baby bag for nappies. And I was like, I know it's Mother's Day, and you know, and I was like, but I'm like, babe, I think the gift's meant to be for me, like not for the babies. And again, he had ulterior motives because it was a really trendy baby bag. You know, it was black and it had a bit of gold. And I think he was just sick and tired of walking around with this pink My Little Pony nappy bag. So I think it was actually for him, but we took the bag back. I wasn't being a diva, right, girls? Hey? We took the bag back and I got something for myself. But this year, I got this watch, which is awesome. I do think there is a little bit of ulterior motives in it because he tells me I'm always late and I preach too long. But that's okay. I like the watch. Anyway, so it's Mother's Day, and I thought, you know what? If we're going to talk about mothers, what better mother to talk about than Mary, the mother of Jesus? And just a disclaimer, I did get really inspired for this message from a sermon I listened to by Christine Kane. So that really impacted me. But if you're taking notes, the title of the sermon is There Is Something About Mary. You guys can write that down. And none of you watch dodgy movies, so none of you are getting funny thoughts in your head right now. But we can't deny that there is something amazing, or there was something amazing about Mary, the fact that she was given the honor of carrying Jesus Christ in her womb and giving birth to him, bringing him into planet Earth. And if you're a man here this morning and you're starting to switch off going, oh my word, we're talking about wombs and giving birth, and please do not switch off, because I really do believe that God has a word for everyone here this morning. For it doesn't matter if you're a mother or a father, whether you're single, whether you're, you know, a man or female, I really believe this is a word for everyone. I do believe that. So I'm asking you all just to lean in and receive from God. Because you see, church, just as Mary was called to be a carrier of Jesus, she got to carry the hope of the world and birth him into the world. So every single one of us here, every Christian in this house, we are also called to be carriers of Jesus. And we are called to take him and to take his presence into our world, into our spheres of influence. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Church, we are called to be a city on a hill. We are called to be the salt and the light of the earth, and we do that, and we can do that because we carry the Spirit of God. We carry Jesus in us into our world. Amen? And it's an honor, church. It's an honor. So we can learn a lot from Mary. We're going to quickly look at Luke chapter 1 verse 26. It'll be on the screen. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a small town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be the son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And verse 38, Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. Now, church, I just want us to think about this for a moment. Okay, we've got Mary. She is this young teenager, and she gets a visit from the angel of the Lord. Now, I don't think the angel of the Lord was, you know, this beautiful, glittery, sort of figurine that we have on top of the Christmas tree, okay? I believe he was fierce and majestic and huge and probably quite terrifying. Okay, and if we're honest, I think a few of us here in this room, if we encountered the angel of the Lord, we probably would have fainted, hit the ground. Hey, I'm sure we have some fainters in the house. Some of us might have wet our pants. I reckon a few of us would have been like, "Oh my word, God, you are real. This God deal is real." And I reckon a few salvation prayers would have gone out just in case. Hey? Things suddenly got so real. And the angel had to say to Mary, "Don't be afraid." So he then tells her, "Listen, you're going to conceive a child and you're going to name him Jesus." And Mary's like, "Okay, just hold on there, Mr. Angel. Did you not do biology 101 in angel school? Okay. Because I am a virgin. How am I going to conceive a child?" And the angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And then almost just like to boost her faith levels, he says to her, "And Elizabeth, your relative, the one who's really, really old and who's been told she's barren her whole life, she's pregnant too. She's 6 months along." And it's almost like the angel was trying to say to Mary, "Just relax, girl. We've got this. We've got this. And we are so much bigger. God is so much bigger than biology." Amen? And so Mary's reply is so beautiful. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So church, I just want to quickly pray and then we're going to go into some points that I really feel we can take from the life of Mary. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, that you are in this room. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to me and through me. God, I pray for a spirit of revelation and I pray that none of us will leave here the same, that you will have your will and be glorified in this place. And everyone says, amen. Okay, first thing we can learn from Mary is that God uses ordinary people. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You know, Mary was just an ordinary teenage girl. I said, yes, there was something special about her, and there was, but that was based on her heart and her response, and we're going to get to that later. But by all intents and purposes, she was just an ordinary teenage girl, but she was a woman or a girl who said, "God, I'm yours, have your way." She said, "God, I'm available." And God is not looking for ability, church. He's looking for availability. He's not looking for the most talented, for the sharpest, for the brightest. He's looking for people who will put up their hand and say, "God, use me." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 to 9 says, we have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, in jars of clay, that's us, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. You see, church, when God uses ordinary people like you and me, He gets all of the glory. And all the glory belongs to God. And you know, I think sometimes in the church world, maybe on a subconscious level, people want to get a little bit of the glory for themselves. But church, all the glory belongs to God. Amen. Everything that is done in this house is to give God glory. Everything that View Church does should always be to give God glory and God glory alone. Amen. So 3 times the angel of the Lord says to Mary, you are highly favored. Okay, he says it 3 times. Now we live in a very like Instagram, you know, hip social media type society. People love their hashtags. Who here uses hashtags on social media? Come on. I love a good hashtag. Makes me feel young. Try to be hip. But you'll see there's hashtags that are trending at the moment. People will write their hashtag living the dream, you know, hashtag living my best life. And one of the hashtags that's very popular at the moment is people will write hashtag favor ain't fair. Who's seen that one? Hashtag favor ain't fair. So you take a picture of yourself in the fanciest restaurant and it's a bit of a brag post and you write there, hashtag favor ain't fair. Look how blessed I am. You know, or you've got a picture of yourself in this really fancy car, you know, cruising. And again, it's a bit of a brag post and you write there, hashtag favor ain't fair. And I thought, you know, Mary was told 3 times by the angel of the Lord, you are highly favored. What would Mary have been like if she was born in our generation? What would she have been like? I reckon she would have been like, my Instagram page is going to go crazy. I'm going to get so many followers. You know, I'm going to have to start an Instagram page for this baby of mine. We're going to get sponsored everything. I'm going to get sponsored the best pram. I'm going to get preggy massages. Maybe Joseph and I will even get a free wedding, like on reality TV, or like Say Yes to the Dress. Because I'm highly favored. Who thinks she might have responded like that? The scary thing is that we are living in a world at the moment where people believe that favor is all about us. We're living in a generation where people believe that favor is about us so that we can be blessed. But the truth, guys, the truth of the matter is that favor is not for status. Favor is for service. And Mary understood this. The angel of the Lord said to Mary, Mary, you are highly favored. And now I'm going to turn your life upside down. Now you need to go to your fiance and tell him, babe, I'm pregnant via immaculate conception. It's like, good luck with that. And you know, seriously, thank goodness God gave Joseph that dream because Joseph was going to leave her. Mary, you've got to go tell your future in-laws that this baby you're carrying is from the Holy Spirit. You've got to tell your parents. You've got to tell your friends. You've got to be prepared that you could possibly be stoned, because in those days you could get stoned for falling pregnant out of wedlock. So she gets told, you are highly favored, but I'm going to turn your life upside down. And she says, God, let your will be done. The thing about favor with God, often when he wants to put his favor on your life and he wants to do something new, in the beginning phases, while it's still incubating, before you've given birth, often it doesn't make sense to anyone else. Only you and God know what's going on. And everyone else thinks you've lost the plot. You guys know what I'm talking about? Even just an example, I recently left my practice. I worked as a GP at a fantastic practice, and I had a meeting with them in December, and I said, guys, I'm going to leave the practice, and I want to go and work for my church. And I want to start an NPO, a non-profit organization, a health center where we can serve underprivileged women. And most of my partners at the practice are not Christians. And they looked at me like I was cooked. Okay? Seriously, they looked at me like this woman has lost the plot. Why would she leave a thriving practice? And, you know, I loved my practice. I love my patients. Why would she leave? It's so convenient. She's got all the resources. I had a brilliant salary. Why would she walk away from this to go and work for her church and to open a clinic with no resources and no money and, you know, to serve the underprivileged? Literally, I said to Andre, I came home, I said, babe, they think I'm mad. I think they think I'm having like a pre-midlife crisis or something, because they just looked at me like they didn't get it. But that's okay, because I know that I'm hashtag living my dream. Amen. I know, church, that I only get one life. I get one life where I can influence as many people as possible and take them to heaven with me for eternity. And I want to take favor and I want to turn it into service, not status. There's a young man in our church. He grew up in this church and he got saved and he came through our youth group. Andre was still the youth pastor, and I will never forget, he got given an his parents are not Christians, okay? They're still not Christians. I believe they will get saved, but they're not Christians. And this young man got an inheritance from his grandmother, a large sum of money. And he had a conviction all by himself, this young teenager, that he wanted to tithe on this inheritance. He said, I want to give 10% of this to God's house, because God says, bring your first fruit into the house. And because I have a revelation that you can never outgive God. And this young man wanted to tithe, and his parents thought he was nuts. I think they thought he had joined a cult. They thought he had lost the plot. But this young man just understood the power of first fruits. And I believe something was being birthed in his heart where God was saying, this is a man I can trust with resources because he has a heart for my kingdom. But to other people, he looked crazy. And luckily, Mary understood that this favor was for service and not for status. And church, I have a conviction. I have a conviction that I want to share with you this morning. If you have an amazing voice, if God has favored you with an amazing voice, I have a conviction that that voice was given to you not so that you can go to Hollywood and become the next Beyonce. That voice was given to you so that you can worship God. You were created to worship God. I believe that with everything inside of me, that favor on your life is for service, not for status. And you know, you might say, well, the worship team, they get status, they're on the stage. I promise you guys, they are all about service. They are here at 6:45 every Sunday, praying and practicing. They practice in the weeks. They're here for three services. They go home for a little bit. They're back at 4 p.m. That is service. I have to bring up our production team. They are the unsung heroes of this church. Let's give them a hand. These guys are here just as early as the worship team. These are talented people. They are favored, but they are using their talents to serve, not for status. They're behind the scenes and they are serving so that our sound is good, so that people can engage in the presence of God in worship and in the message. And you know, I'll never forget, I heard Holly Wagner. She is a pastor of a church in LA, so pretty much in Hollywood. And she was talking and she was saying, you know, the reason she believes, the reason why there are so many messed up people in Hollywood is because no human being was created to be worshipped. No human being was created to be famous. only one, and he wasn't actually a human being, was Jesus. We are not created to be famous. And that's why you go to Hollywood, these people can't handle it. Because they weren't created for fame. They weren't created to be worshipped. And that's why there's so much drug abuse and suicides and mental health issues. Because we weren't created for that. The favor on your life is for service, not status. I have a conviction, if you are a businessman and you're here this morning and your business is flourishing, God has put favor on your business for service, not for status. And you might be doing so well financially and you need to pray and say, God, where do you want to use me? How can I be a servant with these resources? You could sponsor one of our finishing strong students. You could sponsor a term or even a year of university. You could help us build a phenomenal kids' church here at View Church. We have a vision at View Church to have the best kids' church in South Africa. And you want to know why? Because this recent stats show that 94% of Christians get saved as a child. So we need to be reaching those children. We need to be in the schools. We want to have a kids' church where children are begging their parents, their unsaved parents, I want to go to View Church. I want to go to that church. I want to be there. We want to create a safe environment where children learn about the love of Jesus and it sets them up for adulthood where they can serve God. Amen, church. So I have a conviction, if God has favored your business, that favor is for service, not for status. And you need to say to God, where do you want to use me? How can you use me? Favor is an awesome thing, but you know, it takes us out of our comfort zones. And it's always scary going out of your comfort zone. The angel of the Lord said to Mary, Mary, don't be afraid, because fear will cause you to say no to God. And church, the devil does not want any of us using our favor for service. So he will use any tactic. He will use fear to stop you. He'll say to you, don't tithe. You're not going to have enough for yourself. You're not going to have enough for your family. He'll say, don't serve on a Sunday. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to get exhausted. Don't go on a missions trip. It's dangerous. You might get killed. His goal is to get you out of the game by using fear. But some of the best advice that I've ever heard is just do it afraid. Just do it afraid until you're not afraid anymore. Amen? And Mary fought the fear and she said, Lord, I'm here, use me. My second point, if you're taking notes, is that Mary understood the power of community. So she gets this bombshell dropped on her that she is going to conceive, this baby who's going to be the savior of the world. And she has to tell her fiance and she has to tell her family. And you know what the Bible says? She goes straight to her relative Elizabeth. And just to give you background, Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. She was a solid woman of faith. Just quickly, Luke 1 verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And you know, Mary chose wisely. Mary had a mentor. She had a woman of God who could speak into her life and say, Mary, you are blessed. Mary, you are favored. Because you know what? We've all got different types of friends in our lives. Mary could have gone to the wrong friend who could have said, oh my gosh, Mary, what are you going to do? Mary, how could God do this to you? Mary, what happens if you get killed? But Mary chose wisely. Mary went to Elizabeth. And you know, the Bible says after Elizabeth encouraged her, Mary broke out into a beautiful song of praise to God. And I don't have time to read it, but Mary just worshiped God in response to Elizabeth's encouragement. We all need Elizabeths in our lives, and we need to be an Elizabeth to someone else. Amen, church? And that's why View Group is so important. You are going to find your Elizabeth in a View Group. You're going to find someone who has your back, who encourages you, who speaks life into you. And you're going to find the person you can be an Elizabeth to in your View Group. And that's why community is so important. The Bible says that the tongue carries the power of life and death. We need to be so careful who we give our ears to and who we're letting speak over our life. The other thing about Elizabeth was she had such a beautiful, pure heart. And the Bible says that when she heard Mary's greeting, the seed inside of her leapt with joy. And this was such an encouragement and a challenge to me. And I'm speaking to the woman now. It is Mother's Day. But when you have a woman in your life who's giving birth to destiny and God's doing something beautiful in their life, does something inside of you leap with joy? Or do you feel a little bit threatened and a little bit jealous and a little bit competitive? We need to have pure hearts like Elizabeth. We need to have pure hearts that leap with joy when we see our sisters having destiny birthed inside of them. I had to put in one cheesy girl quote because it's Mother's Day. I love this one. It says, "Real queens fix each other's crowns." We have each other's backs. Amen, girls? And just one last thing I want to say on this point. If you're a parent in this church and you've got a teenager, I want to encourage you, send them to View City. We've got an amazing youth group. They are on fire for God. It's a healthy place. Your teenager will get into a View group and they will have an Elizabeth in their life. I had an Elizabeth in my life as a teen. She took me under her wing. She mentored me. She spoke life into me. And I really believe she kept me out of a lot of trouble. And, you know, I don't know if I would have been the same person without her. So if you're a parent, get your child in the house of God. Take them to View City. Point number three, Mary allowed herself to be interrupted. Let's be honest here. Mary had a plan, right? She was engaged to Joseph. They were planning their wedding. I'm sure they were planning the honeymoon. Then they were going to come back, move into their house together, do some nesting. When they were financially secure, they were probably going to start having a family. Hey? Agreed? I don't think, in fact, I know that becoming impregnated as an unmarried virgin was not part of Mary's plan. Being the talk of the town, having to defend her honor, even having her life at risk because she could have been stoned for being unmarried and pregnant. That was not part of Mary's plan, but Mary was okay with having her plan interrupted. And if we want to be people who are used mightily for God, we've got to be okay, church, with having our plans interrupted. We can't always want to play it safe and have everything neatly in a box. Not if we want to be used by God. And church, like I said, we have one life. We've got one life on this earth where we get to make an impact for eternity. Let's not be stopped because we don't want to be interrupted. Just a personal story. About a year and a half ago, Andre and I were on holiday in Umhlanga. We had timeshare, and it was a Sunday, and we decided to go visit a church in Belito, and they had a guest speaker. And Zara was like 1.5, and Juliana was about 3.5. So we were sitting in the parents' room, and we were listening to the live feed. And this pastor was sharing how they had started an orphanage in Durban and what God was doing through that orphanage. And as I sat there in that parents' room with my 1.5-year-old on my lap, I just started to cry and cry and cry. And Andre was looking at me like, flip, She's lost the plot. He still said to me in the car, like, I was thinking the message was good, but it wasn't that good. I'm just crying and crying. But the reason why I was crying so much was because in that meeting, in that morning, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Leanne, I want you guys to start a health center at View Church. I want you guys to start a health center that's going to be life-giving, that's going to bring Jesus to people that are hurting, that's going to push back the darkness, that's going to offer people hope. And yeah, let's give God a hand. It's God's plan. He said, I want you to carry the presence of Jesus into your community, into a broken, hurting environment. Now, church, at that point in my life, I had a plan. And a health center wasn't part of the plan. But as I sat there in that room, God began interrupting my plans in a beautiful, holy, inconvenient way like only He can. And I cried so much that morning, mostly because I felt God's presence, and I always cry when I feel His presence. But I also cried a bit because I felt a bit sorry for myself. And I felt a bit overwhelmed. And I said, God, how am I going to do this? I said, God, you want me to start a health center? God, I've got so much on my plate. I'm like, I have 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Okay, they were almost 2 and 4. I don't want to be a drama queen. I was like, God, I have a very busy medical practice. I'm working 5 days a week. I work every second Saturday. Sundays are crazy. I'm trying to help Andre at church. We run a View group. I'm running a women's ministry. I was like, seriously, God, how am I going to do this? How? And how am I going to keep my sanity doing it? But you know what? God had a plan. God always has a plan. And our limitations are never greater than our God's supernatural ability to provide. And church, we have the most amazing social justice team. When I got back from that trip, I immediately met with our soul team, and they just took the clinic on. They just said, we're going to do this. We're going to make it happen. They have been and they are phenomenal, and they are running with it. And God has given us resources, people who are saying, I can help out here. I can help out there. We've been running for 2 weeks now. We don't have a building yet, but we know it's going to come, and we're just using what we have in our hands. But God is faithful and He is providing. We've got Doreen. Is Doreen here this morning? I don't know what service she's coming to, but this woman is such a gift, and she's such an example of favor used for service and not status. This woman is high up. She's got her PhD in maternal health. She's high up at Stellenbosch University, and she is serving at ISIDEMA, and she's bringing her nursing students in, and we've got them teaching our life coaches and speaking to our women in Khoza about how they can breastfeed, how they can treat diarrhea, how they can work on hygiene in their own language. It's such a blessing. And Doreen is, we've got big plans. We're going to have a pink drive. We're going to have a mammogram machine here for our women. Our God is so much bigger than our limitations. And I had to make a call, and I've left my practice, and I've been full-time at the church for a month now, and I'm loving it, and it's a blessing. But I had to be okay with having my life and my plan interrupted. Mary was okay with having her plan interrupted. And sometimes you might look like a bit of a fool to the world. They think, what are you doing? Are you crazy? But that's okay. This is for eternity. We get one life, one chance to impact eternity. Who cares if they think we're idiots? You know, when Noah built that boat and people had never seen rain before, they thought he was nuts. People thought the Israelites were cooked when they walked around Jericho, the walls of Jericho, over and over again. Paul and Silas, they were praising and worshiping God in jail, in chains. They didn't seem like they were all there. David looked ridiculous when he took on a giant with no armor and just a stone and a sling. And when Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, was hanging on that cross, he seemed defeated. But church, we all know how those stories ended. Psalm 25 verse 3, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. And church, our precious Jesus, he got off that cross. He was not defeated. He defeated the chains of hell. And because of what he did, you and I get to spend eternity in heaven with our Savior. We get to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We get to carry him into our worlds, into our jobs, into our families. What an honor, church. He died for us, and now we get the opportunity to live for him. What an honor. My heart this morning for us is that we will say, God, use me. I'm available. You can interrupt my life. Use me. You died for me. I want to live for you.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.